And welcome back to NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm your host for this evening. I'm Amanda Coulson. And we're here talking to two artists in the show at Turn Gallery, Notions of Self, Dominique Knowles and Heino Schmidt. But before we do that, I just want to remind the listeners that if you like the show, you want to listen to it again or share it with a friend, you can always go to the NAGB's website after it's aired, which is www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Adult Programs and find Blank Canvas. And you can listen to last week's Blank Canvas. You can also listen to all of the old Blank Canvas shows. And there's an archive going back about 8 years. So it's pretty amazing because every week we've been meeting Bahamian artists or Bahamian cultural practitioners. So, and when you're on the NAGB's website, www.nagb.org.bs, you can also check out the calendar. The NAGB is back open after this awful year. And there's a lot of really interesting things to see. There's currently a solo show by Lynn Perotti called Inherit the Earth, which is actually dealing with climate change, heating oceans, very, very beautiful paintings dealing with a rather grim topic, but really worth seeing. We've also got the show Floating Rib, which focuses on 9 black women of the Bahamas. That's curated by Natalie Willis. It's a really beautiful show. And on the ground floor, there's a show called Medicine and Memory with a special video installation by Tamika Galanis. Medicine and Memory really speaks to health and care that we have done in the Bahamas over time and how different social policies affect our health. And I have to remind the audience that the NAGB is free every single day. Ever since Hurricane Dorian, the NAGB made they got rid of ticket prices. So it is free to go to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. It's open from Tuesday through Sunday, Tuesday to Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, noon to 6. And it's really worth going. There's also an outdoor sculpture garden. The sculpture garden has Wi-Fi. And with your phone, you can do a self-guided tour of all the native plants in the garden. You can also do a self-guided tour of all the sculptures in the garden. You can hear the artists actually speaking about their art, and there's a playlist. So there's really a lot happening at the NAGB. So go down there because it's free. And of course, all the other art spaces in New Providence and the rest of the island. So Dungalik, Turn, The Current, there's a lot of spaces supporting artists, and you should really get out there and commune with them because it's all worth doing. So we're going to get back to tonight's program. I'm here with Dominique Knowles and Heino Schmidt. We're not actually here together. Dominique is in Vienna where he has an exhibition. Heino is here in his studio in Chippingham, and I'm out west, but we're all here to talk about the show. And before the break, I was just thinking while you were both talking. So Heino, I want to ask you a question first, and then I'll have a question for both of you, which is that I've seen in your work that you've gone from, again, like figurative to then, like you went through a period of really just doing abstract, like shapes. They were just kind of, and I don't know if the shapes had like any kind of organic underpinning, you know, but I feel like you like stripped everything down to like the atom, and now you're kind of building it up again. But it's been, you know, because you sort of went from total abstraction back to the figure, but it's like the figure is very preliminary in a way, or very again, like raw.
I mean, no, that's absolutely correct. So like, so just going back even to what I was awkwardly asking Dom, just in terms of line and shape. So when the work was very abstracted, it was still like, it would be like boxes and just, mm-hmm. you know, interpretations of architecture and things like that. Cause I was trying to figure out like how space works. Because I felt self-conscious about not understanding foreground, middle ground, background in my own practice. Like I can teach it all day long, but like applying it has always been sort of difficult to me. So like I spent a long time working through that. And then I also, just as a professor, you know, at the university, I find it necessary every now and again to, you know, to hire a model or set up a still life and actually just draw or paint the hell out of it in the most realistic way, just so I know that I can do it. Mm-hmm. So when I yell and scream in my classroom, which I do fairly often, it comes with a certain degree of confidence. Mm-hmm. And I assume like most art teachers do the same thing. I don't know if they do, but like, it's really necessary for me to like, so say for like a figure drawing class, when we were learning anatomy and proportions and so on and so forth, like I would like get a model or something and figure out how to do it. Remind myself like during the summer. And so when it's time to like teach the class, and I just raise all kind of cane, with my students, it comes from a place of confidence. I think at the moment it is basically what I was saying earlier. It's just like, all right, you know, I'm kind of hitting the middle half of my life a little bit. And then I'm just like, all right, like, what is it that really interests you? So of late, I'm trying to just, again, like focus on that distillation and just figuring out what drawing is. And it happens very, very organically, because drawing has this funny definition of being perpetually preliminary, that once you have that in your head, it's just like, this is just a preliminary exercise. You're able to make work.
So it's kind of like a foundation somehow.
Yeah. And, but it, for me, it also like, it carries over to video. It carries over to sculpture, mm-hmm. and it just makes it a little, less intimidating. Like, unlike a traditional painter who has to stretch and prime a canvas properly. Mm-hmm. Like I don't even like white paper. Usually I just walk all over it or I throw it out in the rain. I'm just like, the paper's already ruined. Now we can do anything.
So that's, you know, how you get all the texture. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like, all right, it's already, you know, yes. Like there's no like intimidation towards it. So I can just kind of have fun.
You know, I can understand that as a writer. I have a fear of the blank page too. So it's actually very funny. The show's called The Blank Canvas, because I think that's probably what terrifies all of us, yeah. Writers, is the blank space.
Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you both about was scale. So, you know, you both make like really huge paintings, or drawings in your case, Heino, painting mm-hmm. / drawing. And I found it kind of interesting that, like, you know, we come from this very small island where a lot of people don't have literally the space. And so it's unusual to see that kind of scale. You have to normally like sort of push people to do that, because again, just through physical limitations, as well as I think sometimes mental limitations. And I just mean in terms of like, it's hard to think a certain way if you live, you know, in this kind of confinement. Which we sort of all do on New Providence. It's so small, it's so crowded, space is hard to come by. What does scale mean for you in both of your works? And like, what has led you to that? Maybe we'll start with Dom, just because we haven't heard from him in a while.
Sure.
Like, and you used large scale right from the get-go. I mean, the show at Pop-Up that I don't know if it was the solo show that Heino and you worked on. But I remember that show where you had the big blue painting and then there was the sculpture with the tire.
Yeah,
and you already were like making these like huge paintings. And that sometimes takes like a lot of confidence. Was it simply just being given a studio that was big enough? Like, I mean, again, sometimes it's something very practical. Sometimes it's something more, again, like you need to move your actual body or like put your body into the canvas. Like, tell us a little bit about that decision to like really make big work.
Right. Like in 2013, John gave me this like 5x5 foot canvas or a 6x6 foot canvas. And then I just took it outside and painted it for a while and turned it around and upside down as if it was an easel painting.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, there was that wall over the fireplace that Pop-Up built. And that was like 15 feet, I suppose. So then I made a painting to sort of like hold that space. And
mm-hmm.
I believe just being in the Bahamas with the ocean, you have that relationship to the horizontal vast scale. And then when I started making the horse paintings, when John Rippenhoff from the Green Gallery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin offered the show, there was this clean 40-foot wall. So then I was immediately just knew I wanted to make the painting to fit that wall.
That's so interesting, actually, John, that you just talk about because it just goes back to what we were talking about, how people look at things differently. Like, I always feel like we're constrained by the size of the island, but you look at it as like we have this ocean that totally unconstrains us.
Yeah, exactly.
So like this, so it's infinite, like growing infinite up, horizon. Yeah.
Yeah, growing up like, oh, when do I go across the horizon? Kind of feeling. And that, and so with the horses, they occupy space with a vast scale as well, like with the ocean. So then it was kind of an easy transition from the ocean mm-hmm. to the horses and occupying a large scale, mm-hmm. Not so much like interior space, but more like landscape.
Yeah, exterior spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about you, Heino? How did you like go? I mean, you've always I've seen paintings from you that are pretty large. I mean, like the Island House, they have a big one in the lobby, and I've seen bigger. But wait, for the NE9, you did those huge bodies. And then you also did, like, when you did the Double Dutch with Deborah Anzinger, you did that. It was a drawing that literally went from one corner of the NEGB ballroom, like, all the way across the room.
Yeah, that was 20 feet long. Yeah, it came off the wall onto the floor. That's a complicated question for me. Like, I mean, I have two answers. One of it is having conversations with John Cox as well. Mm-hmm. When I first finished my undergrad, like I'd hang out at Pop Up, and just, you know, and show with him, and I'd watch him do all these, because he would make big work. So we'd have these massive conversations about just like scale that I found very influential, because he was just like, you know, like I don't want to make work that somebody can hang over a couch next, you know what I mean, like that kind of way, like or hang over a toilet or something, like it's like that. I mean, he didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing now, not to put.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
John, if you're listening. I'm not putting words in your mouth. But like, that was sort of my takeaway. And but also, as I kind of matured in my own practice, and it's difficult for your listeners, so I'm kind of waving my wrist around. So like, literally where the wrist is. Like, so you make work. Some people make work just using their wrist. And then some people like make work like using, you know, like with the elbow, which is sort of the mid scale.
Like a bigger thing.
Some people have to make work like using their bodies, which is maybe a little bit more performative. And I would argue that Dom's early work were kind of like records of a performance that was all body. And the larger works.
Interesting. I think I was actually going to say that before you mentioned it. I was going to say that about John Cox's work. Like, when I think about John's work, I always feel like his body is very much in it, whether like literally, like he paints himself, or like metaphorically. Like, I feel like he puts himself like very physically in the work. And it's interesting because he's been such an important person for both of you, right? Like, Dom, he's your cousin, I think.
Yeah, uncle. Yeah, uncle, yeah. Cousin.
and absolutely. When I got the job as curator at the Central Bank, the first show I ended up showing was a retrospective of his large paintings, which was maybe only 10 of them, and they were massive things. And you know, that always stuck with me. It's just like the bravery. It's very much about just the fact that I can make very small works, or very big works. I have a hard time like with the traditional 18 by 20, 20 by 24, like those things, whatever requires your elbow to do it. I can do the wrist and I can do the body, but I can't do that middle space. That well, like it never kind of works out. But and a lot of it is also ego. I would say for Dominique, I'm gonna project to you right now. I think, you know, you're a soft-spoken young man, but your ego is tremendous. Like I think like a lot of it is just occupying a large amount of space and just be like, I will have the biggest work in a space because I can, and
But I think, not like in, not in the kind of like awful bombastic way. Just in a way
it's
of like,
it's a challenge.
Well, even
Dom rises to that challenge, which is why I love him. Like
with the sculpture garden, it's like on the hill, like mini mountain. Like if you fall, you would really be hurt. So it's enough to like hurt yourself or not exist anymore. And then, you know, there's a sculpture on the shoreline below, but that mountain, as we call it, is still like Taz's space. So like nothing else exists but Taz's mountaintop. And the writer Zadie Smith from Jamaica and London says like every first show is your like revenge piece. So like her first book is a revenge book. And I feel that way about my first shows in a new context, that it's like I can do this show or something.
It's a bit it's almost like a finger to your naysayers, right?
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
The people that were like, you really want to be an artist? Really, Dom? You don't want to be a doctor? Yeah.
Well, here's a 40-foot painting. Watch it.
No, I mean, honestly, though, like, I think it's actually, if I could just, like, interject very briefly, like, I do think it's important. I'm not as aggressive with it as Dominique, but, like, just in terms of scale, even though I've made some big things, but a lot of it is just like, nobody's buying this anyway. Like, I don't sell a lot of work. Like, I've had some luck, but I don't actually, you know, compared to my contemporaries, I don't actually sell that much work. So, like, I'm always just like, just occupy the space. But I do think, I would say this, that in recent years, and also what the NAGB has done, and other institutions, you see the same thing, like, in murals. And essentially, like, that's what's happening, is it's just like occupying a certain amount of space and letting your ego kind of, in a good way, be, proactive.
Yeah. And I think it's not only your ego. I think it's also,
and just occupying a space.
And,
you know, again, to your listeners, if you kind of look around, like, there's much more or many more murals, I should say, than I've ever seen when I was a teenager. There was graffiti for sure, but not in that way. So I think people, not just in the context of the gallery space, but just in the context of just like the larger creative community, just like, all right, let's occupy some space in a visual way. So you have Angelica Wallace Whitfield, obviously, Alan Wallace, who's a absolute beast of a person.
June Colley.
I've known him for, 20 years plus years now, and never stops. June Colley, fantastic. Sorry, I almost swore. Fantastic person. Like, so impressive, so impressive.
Yeah.
And also probably like another half a dozen that I don't even know about that are
much more coming up.
But scale is mostly just about love and monumentality. So it's just about showing how much you love more than an ego.
Agreed. Oh, I love that one. That actually goes back to John Cox with "This is how much I love you." That piece. Yeah. "This is how much I love you" piece. So we can end it. I'm sorry. We could do this forever, but the show's almost at an end. But I'm glad you ended there, Dom, because I think again, like, but I think Heine meant ego in a good way. Because I was going to say, I think also it's about imagination. I think what the NAGB did do well, and what they did with the mural program and some other institutions did too, is allow artists the space to imagine bigger too, and not just bigger in size, but just bigger in what else can we put out there? Because again, as you spoke to Heino, if you take away the worry about market and like, am I going to sell work? Is it going to hang in someone's living room? And you just give the artist like this unfettered reign to be like, do whatever like your brain can come up with. Then you come up with these acts of love that Dom is making, where he's not like, oh, I have to make like a little painting someone's going to put over their couch, but I'm going to put my love for the natural world and for Taz, like, I'm going to put it out there. And that's a nice place to end. So thank you guys so much for being with me this evening. To the listeners, we've been talking to Dominique Knowles and Heino Schmidt, both of whom have work at Turn Gallery. Turn Gallery is located on Mahogany Hill on the Island House property out west. And there's a show on right now curated by Jody Minnis called Notions of Self. But don't forget to support all of your other art institutions, especially the NAGB, which is there on West and West Hill Street and is open Tuesday through Sunday, Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, noon to 6, and is always free to get in. So, guys, I just want to thank you so much for being with me this evening. Dominique, Heino, thank you for being here, and thank you to all the listeners.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay, night. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. You've been listening to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colton. I've been your host for this evening, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, and have a great night.